Hello and welcome to the Hallway Wrestling Podcast. The best hallway podcast in wrestling or something. Whatever Pachidi said.
Yeah, according to Pachidi. Yeah.
Yeah. I am your host, Kieran Brennan. With me is always my co-host, now in picture.
The man that Janetis forgot, Rian. This is the second time we did the intro because I accidentally clicked on record. So I'm going to keep my hand off the fucking mouse because you have no idea. Like, we spent like 20 minutes trying to get this set up, but hopefully it looks good because this is
the first Zoom podcast, isn't it?
Yeah. This has made a really cool banner for us. So if going well, I should be on your left hand side as you're watching the screen. Kieran should be on the right, or Finn Balor should be on your right, and Finn Balor should be watching Finn Balor.
Can we just replace your picture with Finn Balor as well?
Yeah, we might do that for like a Finn Balor stand podcast. But yeah, all the links are here below us, so you can follow Kieran's Twitter is there. We put Kieran's Twitter in there, even though it's shit.
Okay, how dare you? Better than yours, you prick. It's just pictures of your dog.
Yeah, excuse me. Pictures of the dog photos are very, very, very high quality Twitter content. But yeah, anyway. We're here. Another week in wrestling. Episode 66. It was meant to be episode 65, but
I felt like we were in the 70s at this point. Have we not done 69 yet?
No, we haven't. I can't wait for that episode.
Is that our Halloween episode? No way.
I don't know, but there's going to be a lot of sexual innuendos. But anyway, first things first, it's yesterday was Mental Health Awareness Day. Today is National Coming Out Day, is it? Is it national or is it just world?
I have no idea. It's just Coming Out Day.
Yeah, it's Coming Out Day. So first, like, to touch on mental health awareness, it's probably like more relevant than it has ever been before. Even though it's relevant all the time, but like in this pandemic, it's like one of the most important things. Your mental health is fluctuating. I'm only going to speak for myself because I'm not going to let Kieran speak about his personal ties to like his mental health, but I had struggled with my mental health in the past, so this is hits home quite hard to other people as well, because it is a really hard time, especially with slipping back into further lockdown in other places. And if you are one of our American listeners, it's even more prevalent now because
they're going through, I think their third wave has started now, whereas we're just kind of like in Ireland, we're getting more cases than we've ever gotten before.
It's
going to be another lockdown.
I want to avoid talking about COVID and kind of focus on the mental health aspect, but you can't really, it's just unavoidable.
Right now, those things are kind of like, you know, paired together. And unfortunately, you know.
So like, just stay safe. Like, honestly, the best thing you can do is like speak to people or talk to people. Like, it's actually quite like, our socials are there, my DMs are open. If anyone listening is ever feeling bad, like, when you put in perspective, I was thinking this on the way home before we started, like, when someone sends you a text and says how are you, it's crazy how much that like boosts your mental health.
Yeah,
it's mad. It's crazy. You take the thing. The popular theme of COVID is the things you took for granted. Like, you say you're never going to take them for granted again, but you probably will once COVID leaves. But like, those kind of small things are probably something that you'd never take for granted ever again.
I don't know. It's, yeah, hard time to be around. I hope everyone, all of our listeners, are doing okay. You know.
Yeah.
Keep after yourself. Maybe send some. Maybe you're sending like a few of your friends, I guess.
Yeah, do something.
You okay right now? Text or some shit, you know.
I speak for myself. Kieran may hate this podcast, but me doing this podcast really does boost your mental health every week when you get to just go into something that you really enjoy with one of your friends and just forget about everything else, like, because you're focused on critiquing. Oh no. We've literally contradicted. We're just critiquing people for for wrestling. It's like, poor. But you get it. You get the point.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we de-stress is by attacking wrestlers.
Yeah. But yeah, and then coming out day, don't be a dick. We're all people at the end of the day on this earth. I'm not the best person to kind of speak on this topic because I'm not. I'm straight, but it's like, if you're picking, like, it's like if I went on our Twitter and like blocked people that weren't in the same like outlook as me, it's just not right. So like everyone's inclusive. It's a free country or a free world.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't understand. But I mean, you can ask people the people who do it, but I'm not, Kieran would probably be a better person to speak on this. I just don't want to dig myself a hole by saying something wrong. But from my perspective, it's like everyone's inclusive, no matter of race, religion, or sexuality.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, short and sweet. But yeah, and before we just get onto the news, like the reason it's episode 66 and episode 65 is, last Saturday, I recorded two interviews with like two journalists that I find fantastic. And the first one came out on Wednesday. After on Monday, I appeared on TalkSport Wrestling, which is pretty cool. On Wednesday, I released the episode with Alex McCarthy. And if you've listened to that, thank you, because it's been doing quite well. It's one of my favorite things I've done on the podcast so far. I've had a really good chat with him about so many different topics, and it was really cool. So check that out. It's really, really insightful, and not because I'm on it, it's because Alex is on it, and he's interviewed Triple H, he's the US editor and like presenter TalkSport. He's like your man when it comes to wrestling in like the US and the UK. So go check him out.
Everyone who's listening to this has definitely seen his Twitter, because he's fairly prevalent on Twitter wrestling or whatever. Wrestling.
Yeah, and he's not overbearing. He's very like, as in like some wrestling journalists on Twitter are just like Ryan Satin. Let's just attack Ryan Satin again. But he is just really, really good at like informative, plus like he like is so nice. It's I can't really explain how nice he is, like the time that he gives me. Like he was in his hotel room and at a boxing event, and he gave me 45 minutes, which is pretty cool. And then next week, Louis Dangor is going to be on from Wrestle Talk. Another really, really sound and amazing 20 years old, doing a degree quite like us, and he's banging out like interviews with the best wrestlers in the world. It's pretty cool. So yeah, check those out. But yeah, that's the start.
There we go. You want to get into the news then, Rain?
Yeah, let me. I had the first article up here. Which one am I talking about? Update on WrestleMania 37 moving to Tampa, Florida.
Ooh. Go on. I'm very interested in this. Go on.
Doubts have been cast over WrestleMania 37 taking place at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood over recent months because of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Sporting events in LA can only currently take place behind closed doors, and they may be prohibited until, the mayor said they may be prohibited until April 2021. Inside the Ropes recently reported that WWE has made tentative plans to move Showcase of the Immortals to the Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida, the stadium that was meant to host last year's WrestleMania, and the company has locked down most venues in the area for WrestleMania weekend events. They later revealed they listed Tampa as the host city for Mania, but the company is currently locked in a legal battle with LA over cancelling the event. Huh. And then there's loads of other stuff afterwards, but I'm not going to read out an entire article. But yeah.
It's faded now, but man, do you remember how shocking it was like 6 or 7 months ago when they actually did cancel Mania? That was insane.
Yeah, weird. I'd love to be the fly on the wall in Vince's office when that was fucking confirmed. Hilarious. So they're probably going to get... They had this big stadium they built... Sorry, SoFi is the stadium that they're building for this WrestleMania, which is... They're probably going to just move it on to the next one. They just wanted to give Raymond James, which had an amazing set, really, really cool, probably give it its WrestleMania in a stadium. It's probably not going to be in front of fans, like, honestly... They're really holding on to clutching the straws.
You get a few, and if it's half a year from now, maybe you'll be able to get a few in there.
You're gonna have
maybe 30 or 40% capacity.
Yeah, you're gonna get like a serious echo. Like it's gonna be. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just the regular Mania. It's around this time the Mania news really kicks in. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's
after SummerSlam, it really picks it up.
It's all year round. Speaking of our interview with Alex McCarthy kind of ties into our next news story, is WWE scrap plans for a UK pay-per-view in 2020. If you listen to the pod, you would listen that me and Alex discussed about that they were meant to have a main roster pay-per-view in the UK headlined by Drew McIntyre defending his title against Tyson Fury. the heavyweight boxer.
That could have been so cool. Like, maybe not that main event, but like, you know, like a show, a proper pay-per-view in the UK is like, people have been asking for it for like 20 years now at this stage, since they did SummerSlam however many years ago. Like, I don't know about you, but I might have popped over and went to see it, like, you know?
Yeah, if the time and if Leaving Cert was actually going on, if that had affected it, I might have. Yeah. Last time they had an event, the pay-per-view in the UK, WWE Insurrection took place in Newcastle upon Tyne. Christian versus Booker T for the IC belt, Jazz versus Trish Stratus, and Triple H versus Kevin Nash in a street fight. So yeah, it was like Tyson against Drew. I as we discussed on that, I'm a Tyson boxing fan, and I'm a really big Drew fan. I just didn't think I wanted to see that after what him and Braun, where he just literally no-sold a power slam at the end. It wasn't exactly fantastic. I would have liked to have seen like Drew versus Roman. They probably would have had to do that. Drew versus Big E, as we're going to discuss later. Big E is so good at the moment, but we'll see where his path is going. But yeah, that's just interesting. But yeah, that's...
What was the name of the MMA guy who was fighting at that Saudi show as well?
Cain Velasquez.
What the fuck happened to him?
Oh, his knee got fucked in like the first minute of the match. AEW's anniversary show, that's not their anniversary show, is happening next week. It's a 55th show.
I feel like they had their anniversary show like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but yeah. Oh no, it got kind of, yeah, but now it the main event, the main event is Moxley versus Lance Archer. It's not bad.
Like, yeah.
Cody, as we discussed later, won the TNT belt, and he was more than happy to put the championship on the line and gave Orange Cassidy a thumbs up. So Orange Cassidy came out, put the thumbs up, Cody put the thumbs up. And Best Friends, who I love, are getting their brush with greatness as they go up against FTR for the belts. So, pretty stacked.
Yeah.
New recruits, a lot of new recruits from Evolve that OWE tied them up were brought in. Leon Ruff, Joe Gacy, Anthony Green. I've seen Joe Gacy and Anthony Green fight each other in Germany. Fantastic match, so I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do. The biggest talking point was a guy called Josh Briggs, who was outed in speaking out, was signed to a contract. Not sure if that's a very good move. I'm not sure if... So there's been a few new signings. Sorry for brushing too, but I want to get a news story that we can talk about.
Kevin Owens he came out and revealed that, like, last year, there was plans and everything was going in motion for him to return to NXT. Like full time, which would have been interesting. I don't know if I would have. I think he's kind of, he wouldn't really suit the current style of NXT, but it could have been interesting to see him being thrown in there, you know.
Yeah, I love
alongside Balor again.
Yeah, I love Kevin Owens. Me and Chris, there's another video. And sorry, I'm plugging our fucking videos that we haven't released yet. But me and Chris, reviewed NXT TakeOver Evolution, where Kevin Owens debuted. Watching that back is just so good because he cut his face, so he broke his nose in the opening match with your man CJ Parker, and the blood, he got stitched up, but then when Sammy and him hugged, the stitches opened, so it was like inadvertently, but it made it so much better because when he turned on Sammy, the blood was like trickling down his face. So good. One man, him and Sammy Zayn and Adrian Neville in the main event is unbelievable. Holds up. But yeah, here's one. Renee Paquette is back. She's back, baby.
She's back, baby.
She's not back. Yeah. She's back to host a special WWE SmackDown kickoff show on October the 16th for Fox.
Is it like the season premiere or something?
Yeah, they're calling it the season premiere because of the draft, obviously, which we'll discuss later. But yeah, it's Fox and WWE saying, okay, WWE obviously saying, yeah, she can have, but it's not WWE. It's not a WWE direct. It's like third party. If you want to, not really a third, it's second party, but yeah, it's she's back, but she's probably going to do a one off. Her and Booker T were always good together, so no complaints.
Retribution is falling apart at the seams. I don't know if you've noticed. Not quite. Mercedes Martinez, she's left the group. She's no longer part of it. It seems. She hasn't been tagged in any Retribution stuff.
Yeah, she didn't change her name, which they are fantastic on Twitter. It's hilarious. So she's tweeted at Santos Escobar saying, do you have any spots in the group for me? who's the Mexican stable in NXT. It seems like she's left, but yeah, I don't mind. She didn't really, she shouldn't have been in there. She's a great wrestler, and anyway, she doesn't need to be in that group, like, at all. So, fair enough. I'm happy. One of the, probably the biggest story from this week, Candy Cartwright, real name Samantha Tavell, has filed a multi-million dollar lawsuit against Matt Riddle, WWE, Evolve, and Gabe Sapolsky. So yeah, Kieran, Fightful obtained copies of court documents. She's seeking $10 million in damages from each defendant. She's represented by John Krasinski Jr., John Krasinski of Jr. and of Hale and Monaco. So the allegations are that Matt Riddle sexually assaulted Tavell on numerous occasions from April 17th until January 2020. And Evolve were involved and didn't do anything. Gabe Sapolsky being the owner of Evolve, and then WWE being the people who still employ Riddle. It's a very tough situation because we don't know any of the evidence. But if WWE's legal cases are to anything to go by in the, like, in the past, she will probably get a couple of million to drop the charges.
They should take him off TV at least until then, probably.
Yes.
I don't know why he's still there.
But you know what they, you know what they've done, Kieran? They put him in a storyline with a racist. So, like, that's just perfect WWE booking.
Who's this racist?
Lars Sullivan. We'll talk about him later. Lars Sullivan is back. Can't believe.
Yeah, well, he's deeply troubled. I don't even know. I don't even want to get into.
He's not alleged. He's literally, like it's not alleged. It's fact. But yeah. So sorry. It's one of those things. Like, me and Kieran are no idea in the legal side of things, but from the history of WWE, they will pay her off. Or, like, this isn't me saying this as in, like, me, like, just being rude. It's just what WWE are famous for, where this, like...
Well, if she accepts it, that's fair enough, if that's what she wants to do. Up to her.
Her legal...
Assuming they even make an offer, look.
WWE's legal power is huge. It's very hard to win against WWE. You probably won't win against WWE, but I really hope she gets solace, and I really hope at least they take Matt Riddle off TV and be a bit considerate to... whether it be allegedly or anything, just take him off TV. It's just doesn't make sense to, like, they don't even have a it seems like they have, like, they have this mindset, and it's probably true that they have a reputation that they can't be broken. Like, it's unfortunately they're invincible, which is invincible, but yeah, they are, like, unfortunately it's a sad situation, and I really hope she gets what she deserves. I just fear that WWE...
Well, we'll see how it unfolds in the next few months, I suppose.
I think I'll probably talk about this now, because NXT wasn't exactly great. It hasn't been. SmackDown and AEW have been the top two shows. But Ridge Holland, an injury update on Ridge Holland. So Ridge Holland, at the end of TakeOver, spoiler, we're going to talk about the TakeOver first after the news, but... He showed up at the end with Cole on his shoulder and threw him after Balor and O'Reilly. And he was going to get this huge push. And it was revealed in NXT that someone had bought him a Mercedes. My theory is that Fish and Strong are turning heel because they were way too overreactive with their dramatics at the end of the match. So Kyle and Adam are going to be the babe faces, and his two goons are going to be Strong and Fish, for want of a better term. So he was getting this huge push. Like, Ridge Holland was just being shot out of the blocks. And I was like, okay, I'd love to see this. This looks pretty cool. So they put him in a match, which they didn't need to do. They put him in a match on NXT. And he was against Danny Burch. And Danny Burch, he beat Danny Burch in a half squash, like a 5-minute match. And then they started brawling, and Oney Lorcan and his tag team partner came out. So they brawled. It finished. They brawled again. And I'm like, why are you doing this? They brawled again. And then it got to a point where Oney Lorcan did a dive out to the outside, or a plancha. Ridge Holland caught him, and his leg just completely buckled. And they threw up the X, and everyone, and he got stretchered out. And Kieran, I'm going to read this out. He ruptured his patella, which is the bit behind your knee. He tore his patella, and he broke and dislocated his ankle. With the dislocated ankle was put back in place on the scene, but he's been had surgery the next day, which might be his only saving grace that he had the surgery immediately. But I fear this man may never wrestle again, because that is a serious, serious injury to two parts of your body.
Yeah. Well, they haven't come out and said anything so far, but I guess sometimes they just don't, like Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
You just didn't hear about him for months.
Yeah. If he can wrestle again, and if it is Fish and Strong, which I'm standing by, I think it is, that's my theory in any way. They can do his heavy work while he sits and from afar, or just like instructs them from afar until he gets to come back. So yeah, I'm really upset because I was really interested to see where this goes, because that would have meant we got Face, Cole, and O'Reilly, and it would have been Ridge Holland. Like he was an ex rugby player, but he was really, he had a good look with the flat cap and like the big coat. Yeah. Yeah, let's see. And NXT's injury look is just shocking right now. We'll talk about Finn Balor's.
Does Cole work as a face at all?
What?
Does Cole, would he work as a face? I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, no, he could be. No, I've seen him be a face before, yeah. He's done some good stuff in Ring of Honor and in when he was just like a goofy Bullet Club member. Like, not goofy, but like he's Adam Cole. I'm sure if you tell Adam Cole, be the baby face. Yeah, he can be the babyface. So it's really, really, that's a ruptured patellar tendon. That just sounds horrible. Hopefully he gets well soon. It's probably going to be a year, even more. I thought that we tie that in quite nicely. The last thing is before we go on to TakeOver, because we probably should. There's a new NJPW president. Harold Meiji stepped down as president of New Japan, and Takami Obari stepped in, and he doesn't have any ties to wrestling. So as you can imagine, he got quite a frosty reception. People were just saying that, like, because Meiji stepped down, and Tanahashi was on AEW giving Jericho a well wish, that opens the door, the magic door between AEW and New Japan. It's probably not going to happen.
It'll happen eventually. It's a matter of when, I'd say. But would they do that in front of a? They'd rather do it in front of a crowd.
I don't think it's gonna happen. I've spoken to people who are big New Japan fans, and they're just like, it might happen. They were Harold Meiji was the guy who the books and Kenny left on quite frosty terms, and that's why that him going might open the door. We don't know. I'd have to talk to more people we'd have to develop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couple of sources, Gato and everything, you know.
Yeah. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, so be it. Let's go on to TakeOver, because it was an amazing.
Well, that's kind of news and also kind of wrestling is the draft. I have like a full list of all the draft picks if you want to do that now, as it is semi news.
Sure. Just go ahead. Yeah. You fire ahead.
On Raw, we have... I'll just go through Raw, and then I'll go through SmackDown, and then we can discuss which is the better brand. Raw has Drew McIntyre as WWE Champion, Raw Women's Champion Asuka, The Hurt Business, which is MVP Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin, and Cedric Alexander, AJ Styles, first brand change for Raw, I believe.
AJ Styles.
Naomi, that's a brand change. The Women's Tag Champions, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, although the tag champs, like, can go to either side, so I don't know why you would draft them. Seems weird. Ricochet, Mandy Rose, The Miz and Morrison, which is a brand change. The SmackDown Tag Team Champions, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, which is a brand change. Dana Brooke, Angel Garza. And now, on the SmackDown side of things, they have the Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, with Paul Heyman. Seth Rollins, that's a brand change. Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair, that's a brand change. Jey Uso, Mysterio and Dominic, that's a brand change. The Big E, Otis. So there you go, full draft picks.
That is the first round of draft picks. So there's more on Monday. So that's two halves of a roster. SmackDown are smoking Raw at this.
I mean, are they? Because they're kind of stuck continuing the Rey Mysterio Seth Rollins feud, I don't think anyone needs.
Apart from that, we know because Lashley's on Raw, we're getting Sami Zayn. We're gonna get Sami Zayn. We've got Rollins, we got Reigns, we got Big E, we're gonna get the unification of tag belts now that the SmackDown tag title,
great,
which is fantastic, and we'll talk about it in a while. But yes, I think SmackDown is, because I just personal taste, SmackDown looks better. Keith Lee is one of those who could go. Kevin Owens, we don't know. The Fiend got drafted, didn't he?
I don't think so.
Oh, so The Fiend, there's some big picks left, but SmackDown is winning right now, and we're recording our own draft later, so that'll be coming out soon. That should be fun.
Yeah, I think, like, right now, wherever Roman is the one that I'm going to watch, you know? So I think SmackDown wins just on that. He is, for my money, my personal taste, the only thing in wrestling that I feel like I can't miss. And and that's over the entirety of lockdown. This is the only guy, this is the only consistent thing where I just know that I need to watch this. But the biggest one here, it seems, the biggest shock twist is that the news they are broken. Big E's gone solo. Adding fuel to those rumors of Big E versus Reigns at Mania.
Yeah. This will be good if they don't have that battle for brand supremacy of Survivor Series where Big E comes out and attacks the New Day. I really hope he refrains.
There's no way. Don't get me wrong. There will definitely be a big spot where they're having a look at each other and they're like, oh, what the fuck?
Like
what
the Shield.
Are we going to do? But they should not fight, and I don't think they will fight, you know?
Yeah. And then
anything, it'll be fucking SmackDown, Raw, NXT versus the New Day who have just gone rogue and fighting themselves, you know?
Yeah, Big E sold it amazingly. After having one of my favorite matches of the week with Sheamus and his Falls Count Anywhere, loved that match. Thought it was great.
Xavier sold it well as well. He was just like, "Say E's name, say E's name."
Yeah,
over and over again.
I hated the fact that they downplayed his return. They were just like, "Oh, he's back." They should have had some where they were getting beaten down and the music hit or they were getting beaten down. And all of a sudden, you hear a trombone or something like that. Like, fuck, it's Xavier Woods. Like, he's internet sensation Xavier Woods. Have up, down, play on the screen. But that knocks another thing off the list. So we talked about the New Day and how that played out. But I can't get away from the fact, and I'm sure everyone watching on YouTube can't get away from the fact, that Finn Balor's 8-pack is on the screen. So let's talk about the show where he was in the main event, NXT TakeOver 31, which for my money was a top 8 TakeOver ever, is what I said.
I mean, I don't have my official ranking for the top 8, but it's probably the best one this year, at least. Mm-hmm. What have the other ones been this year? There was TakeOver 30.
In Your House.
It was okay. In Your House was just okay. That one felt more like a TV special than like a thing. There was the one on TV. There was the TV TakeOver. Was there one near the Royal Rumble? I can't remember what happened on that one.
Oh, was that Cole and Gargano in the 55-minute match, was it? No, that was... I'm not sure.
Oh, that was last year, I think.
Oh, yeah, but... this was fantastic from top to bottom. So we'll just go through the card. Damian Priest versus Johnny Gargano starting off the night was a great match.
Solid match, I think. I'm not in love with either of them as competitors. I probably prefer Gano. I think Damian Priest still has a bit to go. Interesting look, I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But it was a good opener, you know.
Damian Priest is growing on me. I don't like Johnny as a heel, but this was a good match. Great, good opener. No tag matches on the card. Kushida versus Velveteen Dream. Fuck Velveteen Dream, but Kushida is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, finally. I think we said this before. He really just hasn't gotten the chance in NXT so far, had he?
First,
he was stuck on 205 Live for ages.
First TakeOver. And he's been there for 18 months. And he's won the best in the world. He's won the best in the world. Dream.
Well, it was always everyone was always talking about Triple H loves Kushida. He's so high in him the whole time. And then he came here and did nothing. I think he was going to fight Walter, wasn't he? But then he got injured.
Yeah, he broke his hand. He punched Walter and broke his hand. He did fight Walter. But yeah, anyway, Dream came out dressed as Doc Brown. I'm just not interested in Dream. Like 6 months ago, if he came in as Doc Brown, I'd be interested. But he's, they were Kushida was in jeans, which was interesting. And they both looked like they were ready for a street fight.
Just as Marty McFly, man. That's kind of Kushida's thing, isn't it?
Because that's his gimmick. Yeah. So obviously, Dream came out as Doc Brown. Yeah. Kushida's hoverboard lock into the submission is one of the best moves in wrestling, and I'll stand by it, and I've said it before. That is so clean. Doing a backflip off the top rope into a submission is amazing.
What a weird gimmick. Like, I know, look, I'm well aware that everyone's talking about this before me, because I never watched any, like, Japanese wrestling. But that's an odd fucking gimmick to have. Like, a Back to the Future base. Like, naming all your moves after, like, Back to the Future shit, coming out in a DeLorean or whatever. This is, I don't know. It's funny for me.
It's good. It gets people talking, as we've proved. Hoverboard lock is just fantastic. And then, so Dream taps out, which is great. And then Kushida just destroyed his arm, like annihilated his arm, like beat the living shit out of his arm over and over and over again. He's got an edge to him. It's brilliant. Angry Japanese. Angry Japanese man is dangerous. as we've seen in the G1 as well. Two angry Japanese men going after each other. They could beat the shit out of each other. Kushida broke Dream's arm so he couldn't text anybody anymore. not my words. So Kushida's got an edge to him, and we thought Dream was going to be written off TV, but we might as well tie this into TV. Dream just came back and attacked Kushida with the cast on, and then Kushida fought back. So yeah, break someone's arm and they like are able to hit a wrestling move within 4 days.
Ah, that's wrestling though, isn't it? I don't know. I think they were thinking about taking him away for a while, but then they realized that he was already out for ages and then came back and then still got shit on. So they just don't care anymore.
Great match. Great match, and I love Velveteen Dream. I'm going to let...
You love Velveteen Dream?
No, I love Kushida. Fuck's sake. I'm so tired. That was a terrible botch. I love Kushida, as I've said countless times in this podcast. His finisher is the best is the best transition I've ever seen in a wrestling movie. And I'll let Kieran mark out here, because this doesn't really hit me quite hard. I like Shotzi Blackheart in it, but NXT announces Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, it's Show Tease. I always thought it was Show Tease
Blackheart. Yeah, I remember you saying that all the time. I'm like, Kieran's botching everything, but I can't say anything after that. But
you should have fucking called me out on it, because I feel like an idiot now.
I'm pretty sure I did, but Shotzi Blackheart announced she's the host of Halloween Havoc that runs on October 28th as a weekly show.
Yes, I fucking love Halloween. I want to do like a Halloween special for this fucking show where we watch like a Halloween Havoc or some shit. We're talking about like the spookiest wrestling characters or something. I think that'd be awesome. Like, I just love it so much. It's so cool. It's such a cool season. Such a weird like holiday to have where everyone just dresses up as monsters or some shit. It's so weird. Halloween Havoc's back. I love it. And NXT is full of people who love the cosplay. So bring in the demon. Have Gargano go mad dressing up as some shit. Don't care. Do it. Oh, but fucking Kushida's there. He's cosplay 24/7. You know? Can't wait.
Yeah. Anyway, I hate Halloween, but I'm looking forward to the event.
Why do you hate Halloween?
It's a roadblock on the way to Christmas. Fuck it.
You are evil. No, Christmas is a roadblock on the way to Halloween. I'll tell you that much. Halloween's awesome.
A roadblock 10 months out. All right, Kieran.
It is.
But yeah. Anyway, it's gonna be cool. They might have some like gimmick battle royal. But anyway, it should be good. NXT Cruiserweight. Next match was a sleeper. NXT Cruiserweight Championship: Santos Escobar versus Isaiah Swerve Scott. Great match. I loved it. Apart from the finish, great match.
I have very little interest in like the Cruiserweight Championship, so I did skip this, I'll be honest.
Okay, yeah. I just really enjoyed it. So basically, it came to a head where in a 12-minute match, fantastic. You should watch it. It's really good, Kieran. So
2012, I might go back then. I might give it a go then.
Yeah. So Scott. Like launched himself into Wilder Mendoza Escobar's cohorts, and then Ashante Adonis showed up from 205 Live to help his buddy Shane Strickland, Isaiah Swerve Scott, formerly known as Shane Strickland, to wipe out the other two, and they fought him off. And then Escobar hit a dumbbell underhook facebuster to win after Scott got hit with the metal part. I honestly thought Isaiah Swerve should have won. How many times are you going to have him lose? And keep him strong. Either he moves on and comes back, or this is a bit stupid. But yeah, great match. I can't complain. Io Shirai versus Candice LeRae. I've nothing to remember from the match, but the post-match stuff was amazing. But yeah, it was a solid match. Like, can't complain. It's EO and Candice. But like, the main talking point is EO won, and then all of a sudden we remember that the tease was happening with like the green stuff. But then we were like, oh, Tony Storm pops up on the screen, which is great. Tony Storm's yes. Tony Storm's back in NXT. Kieran got a photo of her OTT. So did you as well.
Because you had a broken nose at the time.
That photo was gone. That photo was gone. But I can't find it anymore.
I'm pretty sure I have it somewhere.
Oh, great. But yeah.
I'll post it later if I can find it. I'll post it on the whole wrestling podcast.
Okay, great. Look at give us loads of likes. But yeah, one like equals one prayer for my broken nose that's not broken anymore. But anyway, yeah, it was a great match. But then Toni Storm said she's back. So obviously she got back into the country and is isolating so she can return. And then all of a sudden...
How the fuck did she get back? Aren't you just not allowed into the US right now?
Like, Ireland played in Slovakia in midweek and like four of them tested positive for COVID and then they played in Ireland today. I'm not going to get into it. But
lovely.
Like, yeah, but yeah. Anyway, but... Yeah, so Tony and we're like, oh, and then the motorbike came in. I was like, why is Bo Dallas coming in? Please don't tell me they're doing it. W don't do intergender because people's hearts were set on Bo Dallas. I thought it was going to be Bobby Roode until he returned on Raw, but it turned out to be Ember Moon, which was an unbelievable shock because an Achilles injury, her and Xavier Woods, as someone who has had surgery on their Achilles, is an incredibly difficult injury to recover from, and to have them. Yeah. Not only back, but wrestling. Ember and Xavier.
Bit of a mohawk as well, doesn't she? Or she at least does one side of her head shape.
It's like the Becky Lynch kind of when she had like the hairspray. But yeah, she came back. Huge pop from whoever was in the crowd. There was a crowd there. Oh yeah, we forgot to talk about the new set. The Capitol Wrestling Center. As someone who likes the kind of...
Weird.
It does look like a fight club, doesn't it? It looks really dingy.
It looks like what Raw Underground should look like.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, this is terrible when we just like go off and like we completely forgot about the Capitol Wrestling Center, but like we're talking about Ember Moon, but yeah, it looks good.
I don't know, they didn't really need to change it, I think. It was fine the way it was, but I don't know.
I guess it
makes it feel smaller, so it doesn't feel as empty, I guess.
Yeah, it's actually, the sound was really good for this takeover. But yeah, I want to get like, Ember Moon is fantastic, and she proved on NXT, as we can tie in, she had a great match, and that Eclipse is like Stone Cold marks out for the Eclipse.
Oh, that's
like,
great, yeah.
It's just so good. So good. So it's great to see her back. That NXT women's division is so fucking deep. It's unreal. It's like you could have 5 years of champions there. It's just a revolving like fucking door. It's unreal. So yeah, happy days all around. And then we get to my new match of the year.
Woohoo.
Saying it straight off, like, I like the Tag Match Revolution. I loved Sami
Zayn. More than the one you saw in Germany? I know you saw one in Germany.
On Speedball, But yeah, no, I love that match. I love the Sami Zayn, AJ, and Sami Zayn, AJ, and Jeff was unreal. Just brilliant. The tag match in Revolution, that, like, is the match of the year right now, Stadium Stampede. This was so good, and I can't wait to just talk about this. Because it was just, they apart from Kyle going to the top rope and doing a like dragon horseshoe, they didn't leave the ring once. They beat the living fuck out of each other. Like, legit.
Great match.
Like, legit. Like,
I was kind of worried it wouldn't live up to expectations because you do hype up Kyle O'Reilly a lot, but fuck, it did, you know?
How good is Kyle O'Reilly? Like, just
surprisingly fucking good. I think it's going to be eye-opening to a lot of people.
Yeah, because he was Ring of Honor World Champion. People's eyes, as I said on TalkSport Monday, people's eyes shouldn't be open, but they were. I loved the spotlight where the two of them were like spotlighted. And then,
yeah. Oh, that's always cool when NXT does that.
The best thing about Kyle O'Reilly, Kieran, is his selling, because he in the middle, in the bit, the kick, the turning point in the match was, he struck Balor with a forearm or a kick, and Balor came back with a spinning heel, like a spinning kick into Kyle O'Reilly's midriff. And normally someone would just like fall down on the ground or no sell it, but Kyle fired up as if he was about to no sell it and then fell down after getting completely winded and shot in the liver by that kick. It was beautiful.
It was creative, like, you know.
It was brilliant. It was so good. And then they had the Kyle had a few teeth get knocked out. The did you see the transition into the sharpshooter from the knee bar was so good from Finn. Where you just
forget having teeth knocked out. Someone had a jaw broken in this match, man.
Yeah, but that was towards the end, and I feel like the match ended abruptly. The match had a bit more left in it, but this was just this was so good. It was just they beat the living piss out of each other. They were just like the submissions were Kyle O'Reilly's submissions, you can see he's an MMA specialist. Because the submission transitions were just unreal. He attacked Finn's midriff and his leg just brilliantly. Finn sold amazingly as well. And it was like, it's my match of the year. And I don't think there's anything, I'm very hard pressed to find something that's going to beat it, considering we've got Hell in a Cell and Survivor Series and Full Gear. The Young Bucks and the Revival, if they live up to the hype that they fucking built.
Hey, TLC, man.
Yeah, TLC, let's go. Kurt Angle's return, probably. As someone else's like dad in a fucking Shield uniform. That's my like last vivid memory of TLC. I don't know why. Just Kurt Angle dressed up as like the Shield's dad. But yeah, this was just amazing. And as the boiling point was, a knee in the jaw broke Finn Balor's jaw, and the blood just started. His face just became like a balloon. And it seemed like they wrapped up the match quite quickly. Coup de grace. And as we said, the post match schmoz where Ridge Holland came out and they kind of. But like what happened and stuff. But this match was just, I can't say it. I've said enough when I've been talking to people about this match. It was just chef's kiss. Beautiful. Love it.
Yeah, no, fantastic match. Really good takeover. One of the best takeover main events in a long time, probably.
Yes.
Yeah, I think towards the end, Keith, like Adam Cole had kind of outstayed his welcome as champion. Keith Lee didn't really get a fair shot, to be fair to him, but like, his match with Karrion Kross wasn't great.
Great. I just love that show. It was really good. I watched it live. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. We move on to, I'm assuming, Dynamite. Because we talked about NXT. Dynamite. So this was Jericho's 30th anniversary. So we had a lot of tributes to Jericho. WWE didn't mention anything. Don't know why. Sour bastards.
I think I might know why.
I think I might. But we had Lars Ulrich. So, I mean, people know him, but I don't. He's a fucking guitarist in a heavy metal band. I can't even remember the name on that part.
Speaking of that, RIP Van Halen.
Yeah, RIP Eddie Van Halen. Is it? Yeah. I saw it on the news. Yeah. You seem to have been a big part of many people's lives. So, RIP in peace. But yeah, there was loads of tributes like Tanahashi, which is where people were going, like mental AEW to New Japan. Then we had what's his name? Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith stories about
Kevin Smith?
Kevin Smith was in the crowd at like the first Dynamite. I watched the first Dynamite.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Speaking of the first Dynamite, they released it for free on YouTube this week. And it reminded me of one of the best moments of last year. Do you remember when Kenny Omega in the main event was like setting up for like the dive and just the camera shot of Moxley behind them debuting on Dynamite?
Ah, yeah.
Oh, amazing.
And then Jake Hager came out for the first time. Yeah. And everyone was like, what?
I watched that show on. I watched that show on Saturday and it was great. And then I remembered the best ad break moment ever. Who threw a wiener in the ring? Hmm. Oh, that was brilliant. But yeah, back to Dynamite, because the first match was basically like your fridge and your oven fighting each other. Big Hoss match. Brian Cage defending his FTW title against Will Hobbs. So good. They just beat two units going after each other. Will Hobbs is a future AEW world champion. It was just so good. They just clotheslining each other's shoulders off, trying to take each other down with shoulder blocks. Both men went down, and like the crowd is really good for this. And then Hobbs hit his last will and a testament spine buster for a two count, which is just mad. I don't know how Cage kicked out. Cage recovered and hit the drill claw for the win. Taz got up on commentary and was like, you can either join, I'm giving you an offer, I like you, Will. You can join Team Taz with Ricky Starks and Brian Cage, or you can get the like shit kicked out of you. And then Darby Allin came out, and Kieran's got his thumbs up. It's probably going to be like edited out anyway, Kieran. Finn Balor's face is probably going to be where that thumb was. But yeah, then Darby Allin came out, and strangely enough, Ricky and Brian Cage just left the ring. They didn't even like attack. They just left the ring without like just being like, "Who cares?" That is just storyline stuff, or all parties are fed up with the feud continuing. Like Darby and Ricky had a great match last week, but we'll see where this goes. I can see Will Hobbs turn heel. He's really, really good. So one to watch. FTR brush with greatness with the Hybrid 2. Yeah, the Hybrid 2 played babyfaces here. Solid tag match. The funniest moment was I don't know if you've seen this, Kieran. The Young Bucks watching the TV from their side on angle.
Yeah, I saw that. It was weird.
Yeah. Then
Hybrid 2 is a terrible name. I'm sorry. What are you doing? That's fucking horrific.
Jack Evans was like an ROH original back in like 2004. It's mad. Yeah. He looks like he's 12. But yeah, they're quite good. Jack's the high flyer, and Angelico's the submission are like specialist, hence the Hybrid 2 name. But yeah, they had a good match, but FTR won. And then the Young Bucks kicked the cameraman and gave him loads of money. And then playing into that storyline. And then a picture of Dash and Wheeler and Harwood up on the ring. Up on the Titantron with like their faces in like the in like hot dogs, and I was like, oh no, don't tell me the Young Bucks are doing this. This is like don't put like comedy shit into this like feud. But then it was
the big John Cena in 2009.
Then it was the Best Friends, and it made perfect sense. The Best Friends come out, who are just amazing, and they come out and they're like, you get it, you're weenies. Like Orange Cassidy called you a weenie last week, and he's like, we just walked past Tony Khan, and we're getting a tag title match for next week. Anniversary show, fantastic. And then they did the hug. The hug is brilliant. I just loved everything. I love the Best Friends. I think they're like Chuck Taylor's just admittance that he doesn't go to sleep before 5 o'clock and is like completely out of shape. He admits he's like unfit as fuck. And
yeah.
Then Trent is like shredded. It's just brilliant. And then Orange Cassidy. Can't complain. Then we got into like the best match of the night and one of the best matches of the week. The dog collar match for the TNT title, Cody. With black hair versus Mr. Brody Lee. Did you watch any of this, Kieran?
I did. I did have a watch. But, good solid match, I think. I don't think it buried Brody Lee, like some people are saying. I also don't think it was the right choice to give the title to Cody. He doesn't fucking need a title. And it's, like, the amount of fucking screen time this guy has gotten in the last year just screams nepotism. Which is fair enough. It's his company. But they gotta... They need a bit of self-awareness at this stage.
Yeah, the Young Bucks and Kenny have been like quite like they've lost quite a lot, and they're not like winning all the belts. But the thing is with this, they say that people were saying they were burying them, and Adam Pacitti reading out the AEW comments was hilarious. It was like, you are dead to me. You are worse than mine uncle. It's fucking hilarious. It's so funny. It's like people get so angry. Cody got busted open with the first punch, which was mad. It was a shame, but. John Silver is my favorite wrestler now. Like honestly, his stuff on Being the Elite is just go and watch John Silver on Being the Elite. It's just hilarious. People that are saying that Brody Lee got buried. He got a chain in the face at Crossroads, and it was a chain. Like it doesn't bury him. He was a champion, and he lost one match because there was a chain in his face. Like, come on. Cop on. Like, there's a difference between burying and... Do you think, like, every title reign has to come to an end? Are people going to start saying Drew McIntyre got buried because Randy Orton beat him in Hell in a Cell? Like, no. Fucking... It's so...
Imagine if that happened and we had another fucking pay-per-view of Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, no, just stop. Stop there. Daniel Bryan was right. Everyone's just so fickle. Most realistic. So fickle. Great. And then Cody, great promo afterwards. People saying he's going to, like, people thought I was going to turn heel, but no, I'm here with you. He's definitely going to turn heel soon. Cassidy put the thumbs up. Cassidy versus Cody for the TNT title next week. Sorry for all my hand movements.
I'm like, have Cassidy win it. Fuck it. Maybe that's why they gave it to Cody, because they didn't want Cassidy to beat Brody Lee.
I don't know. I'm not against that. I don't want Cassidy being overexposed. Maybe have him off TV for a while after like that match, or just have him in skits. Don't overexpose him. The appeal of Orange Cassidy is that he isn't like don't put him on every week, because he wouldn't, like, his character is, he wouldn't be arsed to wrestle every week. Like, come on. After this, like, yeah, have him like offer. But yeah, Big Swole against Serena Deeb, solid match. And then it was announced that Big Swole was gonna Swole is just, her charisma is brilliant. It was announced that she has a title match next week against Hikaru Shida. Yeah, that's gonna be a good match. It was quite out of the blue, but she's been on a roll, so I don't mind it. Serena Deeb is quite good. She, if you remember, she is, Serena Deeb is the one that was in the Straight Out Society, the one who got her head shaved by CM Punk. Yeah, she's very good. So good match. And then the main event was shocking. Dr. Luther.
Bad or good?
Bad.
I didn't watch this.
Dr. Deathmatch Dr. Luther gassed out after 2 minutes. He was knackered after two. Knackered after 2 minutes. Not a great match at all. But the post-match was brilliant. Did you watch the post-match, Kieran?
No, I'm looking at Bleacher Report right now. They gave it an A, man.
No, yeah, but that's because the post-match.
Okay. What happens in the post-match?
So they, obviously it was a celebration of Jericho. So Jericho kind of like broke character. He was quite emotional. But he thanked the fans, and then MJF insincerely interrupted him. He brought out like someone under a cloth, and it was like 3-2-1, and it was like Clownico the Clown. So it was a clown, and then the clown had a gift, and it was a photo of MJF. And Jericho was like, this is really cool. Broke the painting over the clown's head and gave him a... It seemed like the clown no-sold it, and then he just hit him with a really stiff Judas effect to put him on the ground. It hit him right in the face. And then they ended it with that kind of thing where, like, the credits play, and it was, like, cameraman Jericho, producer Jericho. Everything was Jericho, and, like, they had that thing where, like, you could see the ring and everyone was, like, celebrating. So, yeah, continues the MJF Jericho stuff. I'm not complaining. It was... Dr. Luther is pretty bad. But yeah, I'm not... But yeah, Jericho and MJF and the Inner Circle stuff is pretty interesting. And I'm not complaining if I see that going forward. Their match...
He's not complaining, guys. He's not complaining.
I keep saying that. I hate when I start like going on... Like I get a phrase like every so often and just start hammering it home. Fucking annoying. But yeah, you can see the disappointment. The difference is now you can see me dying inside. But yeah,
used to be exclusively just me who got to see this thing.
MJF and Jericho in the ring, I'm not excited about the promos. Not complaining, man. Not complaining. That's a t-shirt now. Jeez. But yeah, Raw was bad, so not really gonna
talk about Raw. You know what? No, there was one bit that was great, because fucking Ali, he's the leader of Retribution.
All right, awesome. Yeah, that we do need to talk about that. It was fantastic. And if they use it to tie in the hacker gimmick. Yeah, simple as
they just need a throwaway line where he's like, I was trying to change this company back in my computer or something, and now I have to be Retribution.
Don't say
that's all they need, you know?
Just say like I tried before, but it was the wrong way. I didn't see the light, and then but then I saw the light in darkness. Ooh. Ooh.
Jeez, that's even worse, Raina. Sorry.
Ooh. Can you believe we're about to fantasy book a draft later, and that's the best we can come up with for a fucking promo? I'm not complaining. I literally, that wasn't even me being deleted. I'm actually saying it. I'm fucking infected with the I'm not complaining virus. But yeah, I really like Ali. Maybe if his in-ring style changes, I'm not sure, but he's very, very good. And Dijakovic and Dio Madden being his muscle, yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect. It's a really good faction if they get it right, because they stumbled, but this has brought it back for me.
Yeah. Oh, massively so. Because now they have, like, it's more than just four idiots in hockey masks, you know? Or five or some shit. Now they have, like, a leader. They have a focal point, and that's where it's more interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then SmackDown? We were talking about the draft.
Tag change. There was a tag title change. That happened.
Yeah, Cesaro and Nakamura, hopefully they're going to be drafted as separate brands and be single stars. Maybe, I don't know. Or maybe keep them, I don't know how many tag teams they really do have. Maybe, hopefully the Usos come back soon once that storyline finishes. But Roman Reigns and Jey Uso continues to be so good.
Yeah. So good.
And I didn't even think of it. I don't know if anyone thought of it, but the I Quit match, Inside Hell in a Cell, doesn't make a difference. The I Quit match is perfect for this feud because it's literally what he wants him to say. He wants him to quit and say, you are my tribal leader, you are my tribal chief.
Yeah.
It's
going to be great. I'm really, really, really looking forward to that match. The whole feud has been fantastic. Roman is a heel. Inspired, giving him Heyman and having Heyman genuinely look scared or whatever whenever Roman is on screen is a great touch.
Mm-hmm. Too bad there's three Hell in a Cell matches.
Yeah.
Too bad
there's a fucking pay-per-view with it, you know?
Drew and Randy doesn't need to be in fucking Hell in a Cell. And with Sasha and Bayley just shouldn't even happen. But, like,
Bayley doesn't need to be in the cell. I can see the argument for Drew and Randy and Jimmy and fucking Jay.
Yeah.
Shit, I'm playing into the storyline. Oh, no. Whichever one it is, that should be in the cell.
Yeah, I want to see Sasha and Bayley and Drew and Randy both get separated in the draft. Just please, please, please. SmackDown, Big E and Sheamus was great. I loved it. The cars were just like Big E's leg was bleeding profusely at the end. Too bad the camera completely missed the finish.
It's the only WWE things, you know.
Yeah, just WWE things. Big E is just great. He had like a cameo. He had something about cameo on his gear.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had something about cameo on his gear. It was just funny. I can't remember exactly. I listened to another podcast who said it yesterday, but I can't really remember what exactly was on it. But it must have been just a pop up, whatever. But yeah, other than that, the draft, was there any other matches? Oh, next week we are getting Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns for the Universal title. Yeah,
massive fucking match there. That could be great. I hope. Like, I know it's going to end in DQ or some shit, but still.
Yeah, and then we are also getting New Day's Farewell, even though one of them's staying on SmackDown. But yeah, we were getting New Day's Farewell.
That's what it means, you know, because it's the end of the New Day.
Yeah, so that could happen. Yeah. Where we get like a live stream of WWE like discontinuing their merch and crying. And then the last thing, Kevin Owens against The Fiend. I love this. Alexa's amazing. Kevin plays the role unbelievably well as a babyface for someone who was
dazzling.
And he's so, Kevin Owens is just so good. Like, I love Kevin Owens. And The Fiend is, they've saved a lot of stuff from the dirt WWE have in the past few weeks. Like this Fiend and Kevin Owens storyline, yeah, keep going.
I mean, as long as Alexa's there, do whatever the fuck you want because it's great and I love it.
Yeah, I like the scene at the end where they were like looking at each other.
Yes.
Fantastic. I'm assuming they got drafted together. If they do a storyline where they get separated, I don't give a fuck off.
A romantic storyline? Oh my gosh.
No, we're not having a fucking... No. Do not ruin this. But yeah,
Kevin, I'll ruin it.
Kevin Owens is the most versatile superstar in the world. He can do anything. I love Kevin. If Kevin Owens can get like another reign as champion, I would be very happy. I'd be very happy. How long did it... Who did he lose the belt to in the first place?
Was it Jericho?
Did he lose it to
Jericho? No, it was Goldberg.
Oh, Goldberg, yeah. Of course, yeah, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. Fuck you, Ring. Hate myself.
I'm glad I called you out on it.
Oh, you've infected me. That's gonna there's your like thumbnail. I'm not complaining. It's that was the end of SmackDown, the end of the week in wrestling in general. What else is there? Was there anything else in the world of wrestling that we need to talk about? I don't know how long it feels like we haven't been on for long, but we probably have. We've talked about everything. It was it was an active week in wrestling, which was a nice change.
Yes, for once. It's usually very, very quiet. The last couple of weeks have been very quiet.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we don't need to like keep going if there's nothing to talk about. So
yeah, we can wrap it up there.
Yeah, have you got any recommendations this week, Kieran? For
Halloween-y movies, Return of the Living Dead is a great, great, really fun horror movie from the 80s. Really enjoyed it. Really good. Zombie. Anything from you?
Get your Christmas movies ready. Love the Grinch.
Fuck off. No.
What else? What will I plug this week? I plug the same things every week. Jackmate's Happy Hour is a great podcast. Ed Gamble and James Acaster's podcast, Off Menu, two comedians podcast, like Off Menu. They basically bring on comedians and guests in general, and the premise of the podcast is they name their three-course meal, and it sounds like on paper just basic, but it's hilarious because you have like examples of like Greg Davis coming on and just saying fuck starters, and then it just gets like half an hour of why starters are shit. It's a really cool and niche podcast that's like really good. And like if anyone knows James Acaster, look up James Acaster, Great British Bake Off, and it's brilliant. He's the like the famous where I was like, Paul Holly was like, what happened here, James? And he was like, I mixed them all together, had a mental breakdown, bon appetit. It's hilarious. So it's really good. Two great comedians, a good podcast. Alleged Wrestling Podcast, if you go onto their Twitter, like you join their Discord, and the live podcasts that turn in the live podcasts that they do are just really good, and they have live streams of like Fall Guys and stuff. So recommendation, play Among Us is great to play with your friends. If your mental health is down, play Among Us, because I've really enjoyed playing Among Us so far.
Fun game.
It is really fun, and it's I've noticed that I'm quite good at like if you get accused, I'm quite good at bullshitting my way out and not being accused, but I'm terrible at doing it.
Okay.
I need to get used to doing the tasks. I just couldn't do the tasks. And I watched AEW wrestlers play it, and it was quite funny. But Among Us seems like, just if your mental health is down, play Among Us. Yeah, it's really good fun. Plugs. Hopefully they're all up here. Down here, Dits on Wrestling. Project Dits on Project Dits on Twitter. I think it's Project Dits on YouTube now. I think they're changing from Dits on Wrestling. All the podcasts on Project Dits are great. The Hallway Grabs Pod, tpublic.com/Hallway Wrestling Podcast. I'll be buying some t-shirts soon for me and Kieran, so we'll be wearing them on the podcast. Well, I'll be wearing them on the podcast.
I'll be wiping my book and Iris with them.
Yeah. with his own face. To Ledger Wrestling Podcast is always great. That's great. Just look at Project Dits. He's doing some great stuff with us at the moment. Gonna be some great collabs coming up. Check the next few weeks. I've got Louis Dangar's interview. I've got Takeover Throwbacks with Chris. We've got our draft episode, which we're recording now. God forbid. Let's see who gets the best roster and who has the best name. It's been really fun, and hopefully the first video podcast look quite good. I know Finn looks great. I look terrible. I'm rocking the beard.
I do look great.
I'm rocking
the beard. That's not Finn, that's me.
I'm rocking the beard. Kieran's
That's beard. Not a fucking beard. Do not disgrace the name of beard.
I'm getting there, hopefully. Soon I'm just going to have like a long beard down to my ankles, because COVID's not ending. Let's wrap it. Let's take it home. Plugs always take a long time, but Kieran, take it home.
Oh, well, I've been your host, Kieran Brennan, with me as always, my co-host.
The manager I forgot, which is up there. Kieran needs to get a gimmick, because he has...
No gimmicks.
No gimmicks needed, Kieran Brennan.
There you go. No nimmicks needed. No nimmicks needed. Put on a t-shirt. This has been the Hallway Wrestling Podcast. As we say at the end of every episode of the Hallway Wrestling Podcast, no nimmicks needed.
No nimmicks needed.